Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
In today's message, Pastor Joel begins a new series called Examining Your Investment Portfolio. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So what is our responsibility? Let's listen as Pastor Joel shares the truth concerning what God expects from us as believers.
The name of this sermon is Examining Your Investment Portfolio. Okay? Now, our sermon title is, simply put, it's about an investment portfolio. And what that is that's something that represents, if you any of you know about that, it's because I don't know much about it, but I know it's a set of assets or investments that an investor holds, okay, as I understand it. Now, I said I come from a family of 13. We didn't invest in anything except trying to make it, okay? When I came up, we had a lot of food stamps when they were there, okay? We invested in that, and sometimes I have to admit, I took them to the store and I tried to trade them food stamps in for some dollar bills so I could buy me a truck or a toy or a water gun or something like that. My mother didn't know it, but we didn't have much to invest except our time and effort. But typically, there are people who play the stock market, right? And they invest in stocks and bonds or what have you, okay? Which means that they commit money to earn a financial return on their investment. Yeah. We know about those things. The object, of course, is to achieve growth. They want to achieve growth from their investments. Is that right, Sister Karen?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, some people invest in various products or commodities, and when you group them together, it's called a portfolio. See, I learned a thing or two. God gives me something, I got to study it, okay? And let me say this. This is what's done in the world a lot. It's big in the world, okay? People invest in all kinds of things, all kinds of trends, pursuits, pork bellies, all this other stuff, right? Yeah. Lifestyles, okay? Hoping that what they consider to be good will be a good return on their investment. All right, and that's sort of how it works. And I don't know how that fits into the scheme of things. I know I'm not a gambler, and I know that gambling is sin. I'm not saying that's gambling, but it depends on how you look at it, because sometimes you invest in something that's not savory. Are you helping to fund that empire? 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's what it says. And that's a sermon in itself, and I'm not going to preach that one today. That's for some other time. I only mentioned it as it is interconnected with the idea of people making investments. As I was saying, in this world, people plan and make investments on what seems good to them. That's what I'm trying to get to, right? They make investments for things that seem good to them. Some people invest in ventures and businesses, partnerships, and it brings in capital, a cash flow, but sometimes the money is illegal. But you know, once they've invested their time and efforts, they tend to continue in that venture. All right? So this is what this is about. We want to examine our investment portfolio. And most people do whatever they can in order to see their investments fulfilled or brought to fruition. They want to get the most bang for their buck. But what I want to bring to the church's attention, and when I say churches, I don't mean just Spirit of Truth Church worldwide. I'm preaching to the nations, I'm preaching to my brothers and sisters across the United States and in Africa and India and Bangladesh and South America and Russia, wherever there are people following the Lord, I pray that you hear this message at some time, because it's not coming from me, it's coming from the Lord. But what I want to bring to the church's attention and the attention of the world is not so much about examining our physical investments or our wealth portfolios, but rather, have you checked the growth of your spiritual investments? Yeah. Yeah. That's what we want to talk about. Amen. In other words, God is asking the church, how's your spiritual investment portfolio looking? Okay. Sometimes you do, when you have stock, do you go to your stock broker and ask, how's it looking? You call him Doc, or what do you call him? How's it looking? How's my portfolio account looking? Okay? This is what you need to know, saints. You see, God is the holder of each account in our lives. Did you know that? He is the holder. Past, present, and future accounts. God holds everything. And I'll tell you why I say this, because the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel 5:23 that it is God who holds our very breath in his hands. But for the grace of God, you wouldn't have an account. Huh? But for the grace of God, like my father used to say, you're no count. Okay? But for the grace of God. Okay, you're no account. Would be, your would be. My father used to get on us. He's a mean man. Okay, but wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't have an account. We'd be no account. Okay. Also in Job 12:10, the Bible points out the fact that the breath of all mankind, as well of life and every living thing, meaning animals, birds, fish, and plants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, lies in God's hands. Amen? Now, with that in mind, watch this. Each and every one of us were created for whose purpose? God's purpose. God's purpose and God's plan. Mm-hmm. Not our own. Not our own purpose and not our own plans. Like I said, if God wanted to save us and just call us home, we all be in heaven now. Some of you all were saved 20, 30 years ago. You'd be in heaven now. You wouldn't have to deal with politics and everything that's going on in the White House. Okay? The Bright House. We wouldn't have to deal with those things. So if everything is for God's purpose and not our own, if that's true, which it is, it makes perfect sense, right? That whatever we do in our lives should be done with who in mind? It's got to be done with God in mind, y'all. We can't put him on the back burners. We can't hide him in the back like he's some child that, you know, special. No, God ain't special. We're the ones that need to be hidden in the back, okay? We're not supposed to be trying to hide God in the back and making him secondary to what we want to do, okay? So we need to do everything with God in mind. So let's go to our Bibles, and so we can get clear meaning on our investment, what our investment portfolios should really be about. So I'm going to ask, she was dancing today, wasn't she? I'm going to ask Pastor Sister Annalisa Jones.
When I think about the Lord.
To take us to Genesis 1:26 and 27. And please begin reading that one for us. This is back in Genesis. We're going to start there. Let's go to Old Testament and go to Genesis 1:26 and 27, please.
Genesis 1:26. And 27 tells us, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Mm-hmm. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. And this word here tells us that from the very start of creation, from the creation of man, we see clearly that God had a specific plan for man. It was very specific. He put them over things, didn't he? Gave them a job, didn't he? For all the people that don't work, God gave us a job from the very beginning. From the very beginning, man, he gave us a job. He put you over something, okay? From the very beginning, this was part of his plan. Now, it wasn't all of his plan, but it was part of his plan. Now, this is a series, so I got to start small, and I got to go up to some things. So y'all bear with me on this. We want to touch on some. The Lord wants to touch on some things now. So just listen so we can get better, okay? So from the very creation of man, we see that God had a plan for man, okay? One important thing we see from this text is that God made us in whose image? His own image. I'm here to tell you that if you're made in God's image, you got something to stand up for. You're made in the image of God. You got something now that you got to live up to, okay? That's another reason we're not in heaven now, okay? That was taken from us through sin, wasn't it? Yeah. Did you know that God has never stopped trying to get us back to his original image? He's got a plan for us, okay? Now, that's part of the plan, but we'll get to that, okay? So God made us in his own image. And verse 26 and 27 both tell us that because relationally, we were created with God's characteristics in mind. You may not know that. You see, some people just act in any old kind of way. That's not of God. God's not like that. You see, certain people say that you should be whatever sex or gender you want to be. That's not God's way. God was not like that. You see what I mean? So as we get into this, you're going to see some things. And understand that this passage in Genesis, it relates to us that this plan to create mankind is being spoken by, listen to this, it's being spoken by God the Father. It's God the Father laying the plan out to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So one God in three persons, okay, preparing all the earth, creates the earth in its fullness thereof, and then decides to create man after he's got everything set for us and got our house in order. He moves man into the house. Come on now. This is what he did. He prepared everything for us. He did it with care. He got together with three persons, one God, and he got together and said, we're together on this now. This is what he said, let us make man in our image. That's how much care went into you and you and me and you and our futures and our plans. As if it was a furnished house set up for man, then he moves you into the house and says, run the house. Come on now. Somebody gave you a house right now, moved you in, and all the furniture is there. You've been sleeping on the floor somewhere. Move you into the house and say, this is my house, but under your stead. Take care of the house. Would you not invest in that person? That person be your friend for life. You get into a fist fight, somebody say something about that person that you didn't like. That's what he did, y'all. these first two lines tell us what God did. See, you got to get into it. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what I really did, Joel. It was three in one for many. Come on now. One God, three persons, takes care of gazillions. His plan. The owner of the house, I would think, who holds the title deed. God holds the title deed to everything we've got. He holds the title deed not only to our homes, God owns the title deed to everything in the earth. All the mansions in New Delhi, India. All everything in Egypt and everything and where there are kings and queens and God owns it all. He holds the title deed. So we want to see how our investments are that's to come back to him. How are we working with that? Huh? Let's go to another scripture, please. Let's go to Isaiah 43:7, Pastor. Take us there for a minute.
Isaiah 43:7 tells us, Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him.
Everyone. Thank you, thank Lord. You. Everyone who is called by my name, huh? Everyone who's called by my name, whom I've created for my glory. I formed him. Yes, I made him. If you know the Lord, he's called you. If you're a child of God, he's called you. Okay? He didn't call you to yourself. He didn't call you to Cousin Leroy. He didn't call you to Big Mama. He didn't call you to your husband or your wife. He called you to himself. He didn't call you to the golf club. He didn't call you to the board of trustees. He called you to himself. Every one of you, every one of us belong to God. Now, I know this verse doesn't say it like that, but that's what it's saying. We got to understand that. We got to get out of doing things like robots. Well, read my Bible. Okay. I know what it said. Go back to doing what I'm doing. No, we got to really digest this Bible, y'all. And let it lead us instead of us leading the Bible. You see what I mean? This is the word of God. That's what it's saying right here. So when you read that and you let the Holy Spirit take you somewhere, you say, you didn't know that. That's what Edith and Archie Bunker was all about. Archie. Well, you see it, right? It's different now, right? Oh, I didn't know that. That's the Holy Spirit that he says is going to lead you into all truth. You didn't know truth till you started reading. You read the Bible, but it was superficial knowledge. But now that you know truth, now you get it. It starts affecting you, right? Come on now. So that's what he's saying here. Everyone who is called by my name. It's some people called by the name. They call themselves Christians. Now, I have to admit, I don't know who's a Christian and who's not. You know. Sister Karen said, only God knows, okay? Okay? She, now Pastor Annalise talking about fruit. She said, you know about the fruit. Okay? That's true. You know, when she talk about food, make me nervous. But she said, she's sticking with the script right now. She said, fruit, I got that part. Just leave it right there. But if we do that, we know what he's talking about. Some people say that they're Christians. But remember, there's a scripture in the Bible in Matthew 7:21 that says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will see the kingdom of heaven, except he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Huh? He says, in that day, many will say, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? Huh? Done all these different things. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. That means that somebody knew something. They were either people of God. They were either saved or they had some type of demonic something fooling them. We don't want to be fooled. We want to be children of God. So he says, everyone who's called by name, I've created for my glory. So in other words, if you're going to be in church, if you're going to be in the will of God or in the word of God, you're in it for his glory. You're not in it for yourself. We can't be in it for ourselves. That means that even if you don't want to do something, guess what? If it's in his word, we got to do it. So you call for my glory, not for your feelings. You call for my glory, not for your emotion. You call for my glory, not for your wealth and value. You're for my glory. I use you as I see fit. That's what the word is saying. Not here for your husband. He all right, but he ain't all that. Yeah. Tell her like she ain't all that. I'm all that. That's what the Lord said. I'm all that. And if you can't get with that, oh well. That's what he's saying right here. He didn't say it like that, but read the scripture. So for his glory, that's what it's saying. This passage definitively confirms that the Lord creates and calls human beings for his glory, for his purpose, and not their own. All right? This verse in Isaiah 43:7 specifically says, I formed him, yes, I made him. So if God takes the time to create a being so much like himself in character, doesn't it stand to reason that God is going to use that being in relation to his will? Huh? When you have a little girl that looks just like you, don't you dress her up like you? You fix her little pigtails and puffs like yours. You even give her what you didn't have, don't you? Mm-hmm. You put your little man up and your little mini me and you dress him up just like you. Well, that's what God, you're in his making. You're in his image. He wants to dress us in his righteousness. Huh? Come on. So the plans that God deems are of greater importance, the things of God's will, that's what he wants us to see. The things of God's will, not our will. What child really knows the way around the city? A child, I've got a grandson right now. He's at that age. I got four grandchildren. They're getting to the age where they don't want you around them. And if you are around them, you better look like they want you to look. Better act like they want you to act. Ain't nothing but 6 and 8 years old. Think they're grown. Said the other day, I'm going home by myself. I don't want nobody to pick me up. That's what they said.
Amen. God's word instructs us to abide in him. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We're so thankful you chose to fellowship with us today. You can find today's message as well as previous broadcasts on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. While you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Listen, If you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. We invite you to join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and to walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of this powerful series with Pastor Joel. Until next time.